But I'm very happy to now introduce President Tom Ross, who will speak on the future of public service and effective government. He is a lawyer, a judge, a foundation executive, a university president, a nonprofit leader. Thomas W. Ross is president of the Volcker Alliance, founded by former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker, which advances the effective management of government. He also serves as the Sanford Distinguished Fellow in Public Policy at Duke University. He is the President Emeritus of the 17 campus University of North Carolina, where he was president from 2011 to 2016. He was also president of Davidson College, executive director of the Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation, director of the North Carolina Administrative Office of the Courts, a Superior Court judge, chief of staff to a U.S. congressman, a member of a Greensboro, North Carolina law firm, and as a professor of public law and government at UNC Chapel Hill's School of Government. Tom Ross, his awards include the William H. Rehnquist Award for Judicial Excellence, Governing Magazine's National Public Official of the Year Award, the Foundation for the Improvement of Justice Award, and the University Award for Distinguished Service to Higher Education. Judge Ross, welcome.
Thank you so much, Richard, and thank you for that kind introduction. I think what you have proven with the introduction is that I'm one of those people who can't keep a job. Thank you for the chance to be with you. And look, I am very appreciative of the opportunity to be a part of this really amazing and thought-provoking event. I'm a deep believer in the American experiment in democracy, and I remain optimistic that together all Americans can build an even stronger, more equitable, fairer, and better nation. So my challenge today is to talk about the future of public service and effective government. And there, as we all know, lots of different ways we can serve our fellow residents. But today, when I use the term public service, I'm going to be referring to government service. As Richard mentioned, I work for an organization called the Volcker Alliance. And when I tell people that, when they ask what we do, and I tell them that we focus on making government more effective, it draws a variety of responses, as you might guess, from laughter to good luck with that, to what a waste of time. And I think this is really, those responses are really anecdotal evidence of that support what I think we all know, which is that Americans have a low opinion of their government. And when asked, they say they don't trust it. When I first started working on this, these remarks pre-pandemic, when we thought this conference was going to be held over a year ago, I looked at the Pew survey, which is held regularly on trust in government, and found that in November of 2019, only 17% of Americans felt that they could trust their federal government to do the right thing most of the time. That number is down from 70%. So 77% down to 17%. That 77% was the number in 1964. Recent polls have shown a slight uptick in trust in government to 20%. But let's think about that. Even at 20%, I would argue that only one-fifth of our citizens trusting their government to do the right thing is in and of itself a significant threat to our nation's democracy. Now, some of the criticisms that we hear about government are actually grounded in truth and historical malpractice. Others are rooted in fears and misconceptions, often seeded by politicians and amplified by some of those media organizations we've been hearing about, who are long on sensation and short on context. Add to these an increasingly partisan and deadlocked political system within which we live. So some examples of government failure, if you're interested, I would urge you to read Cascade of Failures, Why Government Fails and How to Stop It, by Paul Light, the Paulette Goddard Professor of Public Service at New York University. And that paper lists 31 major failures of the federal government between 2001 and 2014. Examples run from the lack of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, to the launch of healthcare.gov, to the financial collapse of 2008, to the response to Hurricane Katrina. And then there are the words of politicians denigrating our public servants. Two of the more famous quotes are from President Reagan's speech, his inaugural address, where he said, "Government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem." And from his first inaugural address, President Clinton's famous statement, "The era of big government is over." There are many other examples of politicians beating up on public servants, calling them lazy bureaucrats. And then most recently is the popularization of the long deep state conspiracy theory about those who work in government. I would love to spend my time today talking about the third major cause of citizen distrust in government, and that is overly partisan, money-driven politicians who often place their own acquisition of power over what is best for the country. The causes for this distrust of citizens in our government is I think chief among them gerrymandering and unlimited money in politics. But I think I would exceed your patience and my time if I were to discuss these matters, and I would also distract from what I believe is equally important in rebuilding trust in government. And that is the recruiting of talented next generation leaders who have the motivation, the training, and the values needed to make change and effectively manage and implement government policies and services. Your participation in this conference as Americans is reassuring, and is a statement about the future of our democracy and public service. However, we face a brewing national crisis. A government workforce without sufficient talent and capacity to carry out its important responsibilities. We face significant challenges that demand more and more of our government. Just in the past year to 18 months, we've relied on government to manage a truly historic public health crisis and the increasingly devastating results of climate change. We've seen fires, floods, and droughts among them. These events have raised an awareness of the importance of government in our lives. But even now, many Americans take for granted all government does for us and our fellow residents. Government impacts our lives every single day, shaping our access to and the quality of essential resources and public goods. Just think about all the ways government works for us. When we wake up in the morning, rarely do we worry about the air we're breathing. And when we brush our teeth, most of us never worry about the water we use. When we do our personal business and flush, we don't worry about what happens next. When we eat breakfast, it doesn't occur to us that our food might be contaminated. For those of us who take medicines in the morning, we swallow those pills without asking questions about their safety. When we drive to work, we take the subway, we ride the bus. We don't worry about whether the bus is safe or if the roads or bridges or tunnels on and through which we travel are about to collapse. I could go on with more examples, but you get the point. Government affects nearly every part of our lives, and we take much of it for granted. If we're to have a better America, we must not only have a government that continues to effectively provide many of the services which we have come to experience without thought, but we need a government that is capable of solving the immense challenges that we face today and will face tomorrow. This is what our Constitution has required, to promote the general welfare. This will not be possible without people, talented, committed, motivated people working in government. The brewing national crisis to which I refer has many causes. One is the publicity surrounding the times when government does not work as effectively as some expect. Another is the bashing of the public workforce as worthless bureaucrats. A third is government's inefficient recruiting and hiring practices. It is not surprising, therefore, that not enough of our young people are entering the public service and the public sector workforce to meet the needs of government at all levels. In the private sector, 24% of the workforce is under the age of 30. In the federal government, that percentage is just 7%. In most state and local governments, the number is higher, but still just barely into low double digits. In tech jobs, the percentage under 30 in the federal government is just 3%. Again, similarly low percentages can be found in state and local government workforces. Simultaneously, a cohort of lifelong public servants are reaching retirement and they're doing so at a faster pace than in the past. In the federal government, nearly 100,000 civil servants have retired from government each year over the last decade. This is a substantial loss of experienced workers that seems to be accelerating this year. In the first 6 months of 2021, 10% more have departed than in the same period in 2019. You know, there are a total of 2 million federal workers. That's hard to believe because it's roughly the same number as there were when John Kennedy was president, and the American population has nearly doubled since that time. So approximately 10% of our workforce has filed for retirement in just the last two years. And the Office of Personnel Management predicts 30% of the federal workforce will be retirement eligible in the next few years. This is more than double the retirement eligible population of the workforce as it was in 2018. Tragically, state and local government aging workforce and retirement numbers are similar. This talent crisis caused by the seemingly inability to attract young people, coupled with an aging workforce, is creating a troubling downward cycle. As a result of increasing lack of public sector capacity, breakdowns, think about Flint, Michigan for a moment, occur. And those breakdowns affect people's lives. Because of these breakdowns and their portrayal in the media and by politicians, public confidence in government continues to fall. This weakens government capacity by contracting the talent pipeline, legislators slashing budgets in order to eliminate waste and inefficiency, and executives shifting responsibility to contractors. And the final outcome is the remaining public servants become more burdened, more defensive, and more disillusioned. The downward cycle continues to damage both the experience and the reputation of working in government, as well as the ability of government to deliver results and attract new talent. My fellow citizens, here's the simple truth. Government needs to attract young talent for our democracy to thrive. The retirement wave I've described will not impact every agency of every level of government at the same time or to the same degree. Each level of government and their agencies must prepare for this demographic shift. They must focus on recruiting a new generation of talent, attracting private sector employees into government service, and retaining the existing workforce. They must also take necessary steps to avoid losing the expert institutional knowledge of those who might soon depart. So the questions I hope you're asking yourself at this moment, or can our democracy survive when people lose faith in government's ability to deliver results in a consistent and helpful manner, consistent with our national values and purposes? What can we do about this workforce crisis? If government cannot perform its regular daily responsibilities well, how can we expect it to perform under pressure of a crisis? What can we do to be certain that our government at all levels has the best and brightest talent who can deliver both in normal times and during crisis? How can we work together as citizens to ensure our government has the prepared, experienced, and committed workforce needed to meet our challenges, solve our problems, and restore our trust? I believe we can build a better America and a stronger democracy if we commit ourselves to developing a government workforce with the talent and capacity needed to serve us and our nation well. As Richard mentioned, I lead the Volcker Alliance, a New York-based nonprofit founded by former chair of the Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker. Mr. Volcker spent 30 years in government service, in the Treasury, as president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, and as chair of the Federal Reserve under Presidents Carter and Reagan. When he was appointed chair of the Fed, our nation was facing inflation in double digits. Mr. Volcker raised interest rates to as high as 22%. He was vilified, as you might imagine, and hung in effigy, but he had the courage of his convictions, and he stuck it out. He proved right and broke the back of high inflation. Our nation has not faced really significant inflation since, and many economists give Mr. Volcker credit with having taught us how to use monetary policy to control inflation. During Mr. Volcker's last public service as chair of President Obama's Economic Recovery Advisory Board, he helped the president lead us back from the brink of a financial system failure, save the automobile industry, and put our economy back on track. Mr. Volcker had an incredible aptitude for finance, regulation, and economics. But his deep interest was in public service. He chaired two national commissions on the public service and was, up until his death in December of 2019, as passionate about public service as at any time in his 92 years. In 2013, when he was 86 years old, Mr. Volcker established the Volcker Alliance at a time when he perceived a crisis in governance and subsequent decline in public trust in government. The mission of the Alliance is to empower the public service workforce to solve the challenges facing our nation. We envision a public sector workforce with the experience, preparation, and commitment to ensure that government is accountable and delivers with excellence. To achieve our vision, we carry out a portfolio of targeted workforce initiatives, about which I will talk briefly in a few minutes, because I hope some of what we are doing will provide answers to the questions raised a few moments ago. A new generation of public servants must be prepared to respond with tenacity to the public problems that are becoming even more complex with the introduction of new technologies, evolving knowledge, increased global interconnectedness, and growing diversity. These realities require the attention of our most promising and committed leaders at all levels and in all parts of government. These public servants must know how to identify layers of causation, tease out nuances, utilize the right subject area expertise, interrogate data, admit faults, and piece together solutions creatively across differences. The job of government is harder than ever before, but also more exciting, fast-paced, interdisciplinary, and important than ever before. The opportunity for impact has never been greater, and the potential rewards have never been higher and greater for our government employees and for our nation. I and many others believe that the public service crisis is an incredible opportunity for innovation. To fully realize opportunity, we must change what we are doing because what we are doing is not working. If we are to have a more perfect union, we must ensure that our government is, as President Lincoln described it, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Public sector spending is almost 40% of our national GDP. This is not just a large part of our economy, but the choices government makes is a significant part of our national identity. We cannot afford to fail. A better America demands a public sector that meets expectations. It requires a public sector with the human and capital resources needed to perform effectively and responsively. Prepared, experienced, and committed public servants will lift our nation because we will know it is, our government is working for us and for our fellow Americans. The Volcker Alliance believes that investment in our far-reaching public sector workforce is key to creating a more virtuous and admired government and a better America. We've launched the Government to University Initiative, what we call G2U, which seeks to better connect university job seekers to government jobs. We're fostering environments in which universities and governments collaborate, network, and innovate to strengthen the talent pipeline into government. We believe this effort is most effective at the regional level and have established regional sites in Los Angeles, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Georgia, and North Carolina so far. We're seeing results already as governments at all levels are working together with universities to develop new and better coordinated approaches to helping young people better understand what government does and the career opportunities within it to make meaningful contributions. Simple steps like rewriting job descriptions so they actually describe the work to be done. Government officials going to classrooms and talking about their mission and their work and what they do every day. Virtual job fairs, reducing barriers to hiring, particularly for underrepresented populations, developing more internships and fellowships to expose students to government. These are some of the government and university tactics to overcome the public sector workforce crisis that are already happening around the country. There are many more ideas being developed at the regional level that our growing G2U network can share. And these ideas can be scaled and make a meaningful national change. The Volcker Alliance has also launched the Next Generation Service Corps, Next Gen Service. Next Gen Service seeks to strengthen our American democracy by broadening participation in public service and diversifying leadership. Next Gen will inspire and prepare college students to serve their communities and our nation. These young people will drive change. Next Gen Service seeks to fill a critical gap in undergraduate education by supporting new programs to prepare students for careers in public service. These programs build an appreciation for public service values in a diverse body of students across a wide variety of majors. Through Next Gen Service, universities are designing and implementing new credential programs that introduce undergraduates to practical, collaborative leadership skills. This initiative is inspired by the pioneering Public Service Academy at Arizona State University's Watts College of Public Service and Community Solutions. Next Gen Service has attracted already 10 participating universities in less than 2 years since our launch, and has others waiting in line. These collaborative programs show the interdependence of citizens, universities, and governments to realize our ideal future of a better America. The Alliance also works with a group of deans from many of the top schools of public service around the country. Schools of public service, sometimes known as schools of public policy, public administration, public affairs, and public management. This partnership with the deans aspires to think anew about how we prepare students for public service work of the future. We believe we must examine carefully what we are currently being taught and identify what we are not teaching. We must ensure students have the skills and competencies to enable them to be successful in the government of the future. We need to help schools of public education reach a broader audience of students across disciplines. At the same time, we must strengthen the messaging around public service education so it will resonate with more students throughout the university. Finally, we must continue to assist in the workforce skilling, reskilling, and upskilling at all points of the continuum of one's career. The policy issues of tomorrow are uncertain in their content, but guaranteed in their complexity. Inevitably, all of us will intersect with the public sector at some point in our careers and lives, whether or not we ever work in government. We must, as citizens, ensure that all Americans have a deep understanding of the role of government and its value in our civil society. We must reassert the founders' commitment to the public good. And we must help educate all Americans about how to understand, navigate, and listen respectfully to the often different points of views of fellow members of our free society. We must do more than tolerate others. We must learn to collaborate across differences with enthusiasm. We must educate all Americans with the skills, knowledge, and public sector values needed to liberate the full measure of our talent and creativity. Public service leaders will always be on the front line of development, implementation, and management of policies in a rapidly changing world. They must be equipped to adapt constantly and act thoughtfully and quickly. Most importantly, they must act in the interest of the people and communities in which they live and serve. Tackling the pressing new issues in science and technology must be done carefully and with an eye to how these issues can be regulated and used for the public good. They must also be solved with the acute awareness of their social impact and with a desire to ameliorate, not exacerbate, social injustice. I know that the task feels daunting. I'm sensitive to the political division and discontent and the turbulence that has overcome our nation. Nonetheless, I encourage us all to remember that amidst the headlines that focus on the failures of government, there have also been truly inspirational moments of political leadership, policy efficacy, community involvement, and government innovation. Think about what it took for government working with the private sector to enable John Glenn to be the first human to orbit the Earth in space, or more recently, for four non-astronauts to visit space. Our political history has always ebbed and flowed. Inspirational progress and retreats into the fear of the future. It is citizens uniting with talented, prepared, and committed political leaders and public servants that keep us oriented towards our potential as a democratic society, what Lincoln called the last best hope of Earth. For our democracy to survive and thrive, and for America to be at its best, we must solve the public sector workforce crisis we are facing. We must ensure that we prepare and enlist the best and brightest in service of our communities, our nation, and our ideals. In the words of President John Kennedy, it is time again to ask not what your country can do for you, but to ask what you can do for your country. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today, and I look forward to your questions.
Well,